This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Well, yesterday we started the show by talking a little bit, at least a little bit about what we knew of some of the drama surrounding the Grammys. The Grammys, by the way, airing this Sunday. So the timing of this very dramatic behind-the-scenes activity is interesting, to say the least. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom. Bradley Trainer did the morning show. He'll be doing that until Jason comes back. Holly and I are here with you until 3 o'clock. Hi. And Holly, let's kind of get everybody up to date and then dig into what we know now about this behind-the-scenes drama with the Grammys.
All right, so the drama began about a couple of weeks ago when the new CEO of the Recording Academy, Deborah Dugan, was forced out of her position as the CEO after less than 5 months of being on the job.
Mm-hmm.
That caused a lot of drama. That was interesting because the Grammys, their biggest thing that they do the entire year, the Recording Academy, was but mere weeks away.
Right.
Well, we're learning that there is a lot of drama behind the scenes of the Recording Academy, and we talked a bit about it yesterday here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, and now we're getting some of the dirty details. Now, we kind of said yesterday, Colleen, that this was Deborah Dugan trying to change an old school Hollywood organization systemically from the inside out.
Right. Which it is what it look, admittedly is what it looks like from what little we know, but also seems to be what they were asking for.
Right.
Was a call for change about how some of the corrupt ways of going about the business of the Grammy Awards, wanting to kind of take a look at it, a hard look at it, and make some changes. And by all accounts, that's what she was doing.
Right.
And so this seemed a little bit like a response to not wanting to change.
Yes. Now, they said that they fired Deborah Dugan, or they put her on administrative leave, so to speak, because of her bullying ways. Her former assistant said that she harassed her and bullied her in that position. And so they were like, oh, okay, well, Deborah Dugan, you're out because of these allegations of misconduct against you. Well, Deborah Dugan fired back yesterday, and she filed a claim with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission accusing the Recording Academy of retaliating against her by drumming up a false pretext to put her on leave. So she's saying that that account of alleged misconduct was just a way to get her out of the position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this allegation, Colleen, she's laying out exactly what the Recording Academy was doing in order to get her out of the position of CEO. And let me tell you, the Grammys, the Recording Academy,
they're not looking good right now.
They are not looking good. Now, one of the big allegations to surface in this new claim that former CEO of the Recording Academy, Deborah Dugan, filed with the EEOC is that she is accusing Neil Portno, the former CEO of the Recording Academy, of raping an unnamed recording artist. Yeah.
And what's really interesting about this is, I mean, that's explosive just right there in and of itself. But what's really interesting about this is how she learned about this in the first place, which also leads to some blood on the hands of the Recording Academy.
Exactly. The way that she learned about this, that she learned about it from the board. And then there was a lot of things that where she learned about it, which were compromising to her. Also, the fact she is claiming in this new report that Joel Katz, he's a guy who for decades was a key executive at the Recording Academy, also an attorney, sexually harassed her before she started working for the Recording Academy at a dinner, attempting to woo her, attempting to kiss her. and referred to her as, quote, baby. Now, note one of the things when Deborah Dugan came into the Recording Academy, in the memo that we talked about yesterday, one of the things that she wanted to do was hire outside attorneys to look over the Recording Academy and not have these insiders like Joel Katz be responsible for the legal issues of the Recording Academy. So she kind of wanted to maybe address some of these behavioral problems, again, from the inside out. Now, interestingly enough, they allowed Neil Portnow to essentially not have his contract renewed by the Recording Academy. But apparently, in this report, she said that she was asked to offer Neil a $750,000 consulting contract. You know, so he would still get some side work.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just leave, even though the Board of Trustees knew about this rape allegation against Neil Portnow. They were asking, hey, can you let him have a little consulting gig on the side? It doesn't need to be really public, but he'll be on the payroll.
This is what's really, what's so interesting to me about this is, how is it that, to me, first of all, it sounds like a lot of the Recording Academy trying to cover their tracks.
Yeah.
At least from her angle.
Mm-hmm.
But what maybe they're not counting on is there are people who can confirm the stories that she's telling on the outside who have an interest in confirming that. It just, this is messy.
This is super messy. So we're talking about all of these things that Deborah Dugan alleges the Recording Academy was doing, and it speaks to what she had already said before, or what insiders were speculating, that she was trying to clean house from the inside out. Well, now she's laying out exactly why she was trying to do those things. Lots of expensive trips on the company dime that she thought were just outrageous and that maybe they needed to rein in costs. She lays it out right here. And also, one of the things I think in this complaint about the Recording Academy that should, that might be of particular interest to us, just people who watch the Grammys casually once a year when they're on, is she goes into detail about some of the dirty, dirty behind the scenes meddling in the Recording Academy in regards to the Grammy Awards.
That allows some people to be nominated when perhaps their numbers wouldn't necessarily indicate that.
A little fudging of the numbers, a little quid pro quo.
That's an often used term these days.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. So let me just read to you, Colleen, some of the allegations in this complaint here against the Grammy Awards. Some board members on this are on secret committees which choose the Grammy nominees, and they represent or have relationships with nominated artists. Now, right there, you would say, well, interesting. So, Colleen, if you had a relationship with somebody on the Board of Trustees, maybe they would nominate you for Best Spoken Word Album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing you a little solid there. Here's another allegation. That the board uses these committees as an opportunity to push forward artists with whom they have relationships. Here's some more, Colleen. That the board also manipulates the nomination process to ensure that certain songs or albums are nominated when the producer of the Grammys wants a particular song performed during the telecast. We really want X hot artist. I suppose maybe somebody like, I don't know, whoever is performing this year, whoever has had a hot year, well, we want them to be on the telecast because we want eyes on our telecast. So maybe we'll throw them a few Grammy nominations that they otherwise wouldn't receive.
Right.
Also in these allegations, that the board also manipulates the Grammy nominations process to ensure that artists and for nominations who didn't even make the top 20 artist list. So that being said, the way there's a lot of little details about how the Recording Academy gathers the data to issue Grammy nominations. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a little fudging in that. Maybe they didn't make the cut. Well, maybe we can have somebody put in a good word for you. And that's exactly allegedly what happened last year, Colleen, because in the 2019 Song of the Year category, that goes to the songwriters of a particular song. Apparently, the board selected artists who are under consideration for a nomination to sit on the committee that is voting for the category for which that has been nominated. So as a result, an artist who ranked 18 out of 20 on their list ended up with a nomination. over Ed Sheeran and Ariana Grande.
Yeah, see, that's kind of big stuff.
Yeah.
It just, now here's what, well, the part that I am questioning is the timing, and maybe it has nothing to do with anything, but the timing of her administrative leave.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how this is going to be dealt with on the Grammys, because in years past, there is a moment where the CEO of the Recording Academy comes out and says a couple words, right?
Right.
Neil Portnoy, that's the only way I could have recognized him to point him out of a crowd, is from that one moment on the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying it's a big moment, but it's certainly not going to happen. And I'm curious how they're going to address, or if they're going to be somehow addressing anything about the management of the Academy. Because that's right. actually standard in award shows, right?
Yes,
some
yes.
member of the nominating entity shows up,
right.
or the auditor, or something like
yeah.
that.
We see the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association
right.
on stage at the Golden Globes.
Right.
We saw her there a couple of weeks
it's
ago.
It's the person you don't care about.
It is the person you don't care
yes.
about. Now, what I will say, Colleen, is that they have an interim CEO. That person guaranteed probably going to walk out on stage on the Grammys and address this. Now, the Recording Academy has been very aggressive in the way that they've been handling Debra Dugan. They're saying that she tried to extort money from the Recording Academy.
Right.
So that's what they're accusing her of.
Right.
But in light of this new document.
Well, they better come up with the receipts.
Right.
Now, also, I do want to just add and that this did not come from me. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But when I was trying to tell Donna a little bit about this
yeah.
during the Donna and Steve show today, she, without my say so, gave me the I think it's a conspiracy theory face.
What? No, she thinks that the allegations.
She thinks that a lot of the timing of this hullabaloo has everything to do with getting eyeballs on the Grammy Awards.
Okay. Bless her heart, Donna Valentine.
No, and it's not normal that we would tiptoe backwards from a conspiracy theory on
yeah.
the Colleen and Bradley show.
Because we love a good conspiracy theory.
We certainly
theory.
Do.
We even put it on a t-shirt
Thank
at the
you.
State fair. However, this does not fall into the category of conspiracy. This kind of documentation filed with an official government organization, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that does not speak conspiracy to me. The conspiracy in all of this is the Recording Academy wanting to oust Debra Dugan because she was trying to address changes within
yeah.
the system of the Recording Academy. The old guard didn't like it.
Yeah.
She even called them an old boys club.
Yep.
And they kicked her out.
There's definitely a conspiracy in there. It's not the obvious one.
It's not obvious.
All right. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, do we have Elizabeth Reese back today?
Yes.
Ta-da. Elizabeth Reese is bringing all the dirt straight from Hollywood with a dirt alert on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk dirt alert.
Elizabeth Reese has arrived. She's brought so very much dirt.
Tons of dirt. Hi, friends.
Hello,
Hi.
Elizabeth.
Happy Wednesday, Colleen and Holly. It's nice to be with you today.
And also with you.
All right. How are you guys feeling about this Jessica Simpson memoir that's going to be coming
okay,
out?
Okay, tell us about this, because
mm-hmm.
we did a little talking off the air about this.
Yeah.
We do not have this scheduled to be spoken of on our show, but I'm very curious about it, and I'm very... Yes, tell us more.
So it's coming out soon here, and it's called Open Book, and she did an excerpt with People Magazine, and she's on the cover of People Magazine, and she's talking about a few really pivotal moments in her life, including being sexually abused as a child. And she says that this happened when she would spend the night at some close family friend's house, and she would sleep with another girl,
mm-hmm.
and that progressed.
Like you do when you have like families that get together,
oh, yeah.
you know, the kids will all share bedrooms.
Oh, for sure.
That kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Do like bunk up or bunk
yeah.
up with the cousins mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
We always did that. But this sleeping situation was not good for her because she says that it resulted in sexual abuse from this other girl for many years.
Mm.
Until finally she was 12 years old and she said something when they were driving. And she says that she told her parents... And this was for 6 years. And she said that her mother then slapped her father's arm and yelled.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
I told you something was happening.
Oh my gosh.
And Jessica Simpson revealed that they never stayed at my parents' friend's house again, but we also didn't talk about what I had said. And then, you know, she, of course, has this career going on and, you know, she's been very open and up and down about her weight.
Also, P.S., her father was her manager.
Right.
Yes.
So then also the person who didn't address the bad thing that happened to her is also responsible for her career and pushing her out into the public eye. Sorry.
100%. She said she dealt with a lot of anxiety and scrutiny over her weight, which began as a teenager. She said, on my 17th birthday, I flew to New York for meetings with record labels. I sang Amazing Grace for Tommy Mottola at Columbia, and he wanted to sign me. And then he said, you've got to lose 15 pounds, is what he said to her as a 17-year-old.
So gross.
At 118 pounds, I mean, she's very short. She's like 5'1".
Right. Yes. Right.
At 118 pounds, Jessica Simpson says she immediately went on an extremely strict diet and started taking diet pills. Mm. She says, which she did then for the next 20 years.
Well, remember when this was like the mid 2000s mm-hmm. where Jessica Simpson's diet journeys, if we're going to call them that, yeah. were definitely tabloid fodder.
For sure.
Particularly when she wasn't the star of the Dukes of Hazzard.
And when she was wearing the Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, and she was totally objectified in that way. And it just, breaks my heart.
And she talked so much about getting into those shorts.
Yeah.
And what that was all about.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds you of that moment when Oprah pulled the wagon of the fat out.
Yes.
And she said that she had hit that weight, which whatever the weight was, 145 or something like that. And that appearance on that show was the only time she was at that weight because it was so unsustainable that she just, there was no way she was going to be able to maintain that. Yeah. And that's kind of what you think about with like this Daisy Duke situation.
That was, the Daisy Duke moment.
Mm-hmm. She said she quit drinking and got completely sober in 2017. So November of 2017.
Now, you know what I think is so interesting about this? Because this is one of the things we were talking about off the air, was the lead up to that. Do you remember? I mean, there was a period of time where we saw so many tabloid photographs of her being escorted out of parties, not able to walk. We saw her on interviews slurring her speech and lots of people speculating a lot about that. So this is interesting to kind of have the, I don't want to say the end of the story, but this piece of information as part of her journey.
Well, definitely a different perspective.
For sure. She, of course, did the show Newlyweds with her husband, Nick Lachey, 3 years that they were married, you know, and now, of course, when you look back, you're like, they were never going to stay together.
Uh-uh.
No, but I know that crushes my heart to say that.
I know.
Watch that show, though, guys. And I say this to you. I think this is a good reality show to watch just occasionally. You can find the original. I could find it on YouTube. I'm sure you still can.
I'm sure you can.
And watch how long they let a scene run.
Oh, yeah.
Holly,
it's so different
now.
I mean,
can you even believe it? How it's so snippeted and cut and cut and cut. They would just like let, back in the early days of reality TV, they would just set up the cameras.
Yeah.
And just let it roll.
Because back then we were fine with just actually seeing reality.
When you watch those shows from that time period, the early 2000s, Newlyweds, The Osbournes, The Anna Nicole Show, there is a rawness about that reality TV that no longer exists today.
You're totally
right. Well, there was also a little bit of reality in there. You know, you did not get the impression as you do now that scenes are being recreated and rewritten for the show.
Yes.
This really did feel like leave the cameras rolling and these people will perform for you.
And that's what they did.
And they did, yeah.
They totally did. So Jessica Simpson, along with the audiobook that she narrated, is releasing 6 new songs that tell her story.
I'm so curious about this. When does the book come out?
I can't find it.
I mean, I don't typically read anything that's not assigned to me right now, sadly, but I will read this book.
It just keeps saying upcoming publication.
Okay, well, I can't
upcoming
wait.
Publication is what I'm seeing everywhere. But it just the story.
Well, hurry up.
Come on, publish.
It's really interesting. Meghan Markle is so happy starting new amid the royal family drama, is what Us Weekly is reporting today.
And it's so nice that she let us get some insight into how happy she is, smiling
on her walk.
Walking her dogs, grinning ear to ear. So we know that she's happy.
We've seen her happy.
With her very eyes.
Uh-huh. Now that they're residing in Canada with their 8-month-old son, she's happy and so is Harry. He's really excited about this new chapter in their lives.
You know, I this is what I will say. I did get mad yesterday, Elizabeth, because I got a notification on my phone at 4 a.m. that Harry was now in Canada with her. I thought, this is not information I need right now. But fine, I get it. People are thirsty. They need, you know, to quench that.
Different time zones.
Yes, exactly. But I will say this. I will be interested to see how this plays out.
100%.
And trust me, it will be a show. I mean, we will be watching a show happen.
It's fascinating.
And it's not going to be newlywed style. And
thank you.
Sure.
That is for sure.
That is the truth. Nice tie in
Elizabeth
there,
Elizabeth Reese, thank you for this lovely dirt alert. When we come back, we need somebody to play our 30-second pop culture challenge. 651-641-1071. 30 seconds, 5 pop culture questions. Get them all right. You win a prize. My Talk 107. We are going to give you 30 seconds to answer 5 pop culture questions. Get them all right and win a prize. We do it every day at 12:30 on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1 streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer, did the morning show. He's not with us today. Holly Roberts and I are here with you.
Hey, girl!
And now, let's get to that 30-second pop culture challenge.
30 seconds. Challenge.
Who is on the phone today, Colleen?
Thank you for asking. We have Carrie on the line. And what is Carrie playing for?
She's playing for a fabulous My Talk 107.1 t-shirt.
Why are we talking like this?
I don't know.
All right, fine. All right, Carrie, you know how this goes. The timer will begin after I ask you the first question. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, Carrie, who is the mascot for Planters Peanuts?
Mr. Peanut.
Dave Matthews was born in what country?
South Africa.
Cuba Gooding Jr. won his Oscar for his performance in what movie?
Jerry Maguire.
The Simpsons live in what town?
Springfield.
Taylor Swift co-wrote a song with Andrew Lloyd Webber for what movie musical?
Cat.
Carrie! You won the 30-second pop culture challenge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie, for playing.
You are all set. Watch out for that t-shirt.
It's coming at you. Congratulations to Carrie. And if you didn't get an opportunity today to play the 30-second pop culture challenge, you don't need to cry about it. Don't worry, because we do it every day at 12:30.
Just keep trying.
We got t-shirts for days. And now that we've played that game, Donna Valentine has entered the studio because she will be joining us in the playing. It's not even a game. In solving
kind of
some pop culture mysteries in the form of blind items that Holly's brought for us in this segment we call Blinded by the Item.
Presenting Lord and Lady.
That's not correct.
That's fun.
It kind of felt like she was calling us D-bags.
Oh, well,
it kind of did.
Rude.
You are not D-bags.
Thank you.
Not D-bags.
All right, Holly, lay it on us.
Here's your first celebrity gossip mystery to solve. This former A-list tweener actor from a television franchise turned A-/B+ list adult actor is back on drugs. I blame the Svengali.
Okay.
All right.
A-list tweener actor from
TV franchise.
Yes, a TV franchise.
So a TV franchise.
Uh-huh.
A franchise, if you will.
But now A-minus list, B-list adult actor.
Correct.
Oh, A-minus list.
Was this a Disney person, human? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good, Colleen. Good.
Thank you.
Yes. Good detective work. Disney person.
But just acting, not singing ever?
Well, they sang in the franchise, yes.
Okay, but they mostly actors. Mostly acting.
Mostly acting. I don't think this person has ever released any albums.
Okay.
Okay.
They're talented.
Okay.
Okay, so A-minus list, B, actor. That's pretty good.
I know, that's big.
Now, they're back on drugs, according to this blind item.
So we know that they've been on drugs.
Yes.
Is this a male?
Yes.
Oh, it is a male.
It is a male.
Okay, that's going to actually open this up a little bit more for me because I was focusing on females.
Okay.
No.
Can I ask some questions?
Please do.
Yeah,
you're allowed.
So I'm wondering, was Shia LaBeouf ever a Disney person?
Yes, he was. He was a star
that
of
is
Even
my answer.
Stevens.
That's it.
That was a good guess.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It was nice, but it was wrong.
But it's incorrect. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I really should know this. It should be right in front of my face, right?
It's so obvious. Here is a hint.
Johnny Depp. Just kidding. That was not funny.
Here's does this person make a porn?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Good question, though. That's a really solid question. What's the hint?
The hint is that this person has had some recent health issues.
Oh.
And they shared their health issues on social media. Although it was rather vague what was really going on.
Oh, it's so obvious. No, it's not obvious.
Yeah.
Mm.
Come on, Colleen.
I know, because all I can think of is women right now.
I'm thinking of Britney.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so
we're failing.
I'm going to look at my man wall.
What was this person in?
I'm not going to tell you.
Like a movie. Give me a movie or a TV show or nothing. Okay.
Because it will be too obvious. I want you to guess. Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this person at the end of the year because they had to cancel the filming of their upcoming TV show because they got sick. But all is well.
Oh, God.
All is well with this person, they want you to know.
It's ringing a bell a little.
This person is into the world of fitness. They have their own YouTube channel full of fitness.
No. Zac Efron, no. I didn't want that. And that's why I had a blind spot. Because Zach, honey.
Okay, can you read the blind item? The answers?
So Zac Efron, according to NT Lawyer, is back on drugs. NT Lawyer blaming the Svengali being Muhammad Al-Turki, who is a friend of celebrities around the world.
He likes to get him on drugs.
Now, what I was referring to at the end of last year was a post that Zac Efron shared on December 29th with the following. He said, very thankful to everyone who has reached out.
That's right.
I did get sick in Papua New Guinea, but I bounced back quick and finished an amazing 3 weeks in Papua New Guinea. I'm home for the holidays with my friends and family. Thanks for all the love and concern. See you in 2020.
Yeah.
Now,
shoot.
He didn't really say what happened. Then there were rumors that he caught some kind of bug.
Yeah.
Virus or something.
Yeah.
But those were unsubstantiated rumors.
Right.
Coming out of thin air.
And this is all, you know, the reason, because he's doing a Quibi show,
called like somebody killed Zac Efron.
Killing Zac Efron.
Yeah. Yes.
And it looks like there's another demon out to get him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm really sad. Okay, fine.
I'm sad too.
Blinded by the idol.
I was in denial about that one.
It's okay, Colleen.
Thank you.
I know how you feel.
That's so sad.
Here's another.
Is it
going to
be sad? Is it a sad one?
No, it's not a sad one.
All right.
The streaming giant just reported that last year it blew through the largest mountain of cash in the company's history. Of course, they said that this year would finally be when they burned through about only 75% of that amount. 2 years ago, they said the same thing and they were wrong. Meanwhile, they finally had to admit what I told you years ago, that the viewership numbers they report are total crap.
Mm-hmm.
The government regulators must have taken notice and made them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, fill in the blank.
Yeah, so Netflix, they burned through billions of dollars last year.
Which does not surprise, because sit and think about how on earth they make the money that they make on subscriptions.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know where
all the money comes from to get all that programming.
Well, this year they said they're only going to spend about 75% of their budget, but they said that 2 years ago, and haha, look where we are in 2020. Meanwhile, Netflix had to finally admit what NT Lawyer said years ago, that Netflix viewership numbers are crap.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently government regulators must have taken notice and made Netflix do that. So I'm thinking that meant those movie ratings that they came out with late last year, saying that Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie was the most watched Netflix movie of the year.
Did anybody believe that?
And does anyone remember the name of the movie? No.
No.
This scary place.
No, they're in...
What's it called again?
Murder
Town?
Something?
Murder Town?
They're in the Amalfi Coast.
I don't
apparently
remember.
Apparently, it's pretty to look at.
So, who's watching it?
Nobody. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
All right. Do we have time for a short one? Is there a short one?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's not happy, though. Sorry.
Okay.
It's not happy.
All right, fine.
This A-minus list singer / bad actress is in big trouble. She can't go on much longer than this without rehab. There was talk of a surprise performance this weekend. But one look at her and even being an attendee is a long shot.
Is this Selena Gomez?
Oh,
and maybe
no.
A surprise performance at the Grammys?
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. There were talks about Selena Gomez doing a surprise performance at the Grammys. However, one look at her and even being an attendee at the Grammys is out of the cards for Selena Gomez at this point.
You know, this is making me very sad because...
I don't want to make you sad.
Well, it's not your fault. It's entertainment's fault. Because when you take a step back and you think about... We've talked about two Disney celebrities.
Yes.
And they're not alone by any stretch. And if you, you know, sort of widen the scope and really look at... it's hard for me to understand why anybody would do that to their own children. It's such a huge cost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, allow them to do that for a career.
When
it sounds like a big break, but when you look ahead, it does not look good.
Right.
Ugh.
Right. Oh, Coco.
I'll be all right.
I'll hug you.
Thanks.
Okay.
When we come back, Holly and I spent some time this morning watching a show that so many people are recommending on Netflix. It's called Cheer.
Oh, we talked about that today.
Did you?
Yes.
Have you watched it?
Kelly Hansen is obsessed. I'm going to watch it today.
Okay. So many people are obsessed with it. Find out if Holly and I will be added to that list after this on My Talk 107.1. 37 degrees, you guys. Put your shorts on. Get out there with your foil and like try to get some sun rays. Okay, there's clouds. Forget it. But you know what? It's tropical. Celebrate. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1 streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom. Bradley Trainer did the morning show this morning and he will do so until Jason comes back. Holly Roberts and I are here with you.
Yeah.
And we, I think independently, or at least you mentioned you were going to do it. And I said, that show has been recommended to me. The TV show Cheer, the Netflix show Cheer. It's a docuseries about a cheerleading team. A lot of people had told us to watch it. And I thought, okay, well, if you're going to watch it, I'll watch it.
Okay.
And then we can compare notes.
Yeah.
So I carved out a little time this morning. I'll be honest. I was doing other things and watching at the same time.
Me too.
But I was attuned enough to it to know what was going on. It is a docuseries, like I said, about a cheerleading team. And when I say a cheerleading team, I mean a competitive cheerleading team at a junior college in Texas. And this team is like the elite of the elite. They are award-winning. And so this is a docuseries profiling this team. And from what I had heard, it will capture you and you will want to do nothing but binge it.
Yes, that's what I heard. People were so attached to this docuseries on Netflix. Everyone, and by everyone, I mean people on the internet, some people around the office,
right,
saying, oh my God, you have to watch Cheer. You are going to be obsessed and you're going to watch the whole thing in one sitting. You're going to get so attached to the people in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love their story. It's going to be so inspirational. You're just going to be crying by the end of it. So
Holly, you're here now.
I am here now.
So did you binge the whole thing?
No, I didn't. Because
neither did I.
We watched it this morning, Colleen. And,
yeah.
Time is the way that time is.
Yes.
I watched the first episode of Cheer.
And I did too.
Yeah.
What did you think, nutshell?
It's a docu-series about a cheer team.
I'm wondering.
It is a docu-series about a cheer team.
I'm wondering if we did it wrong.
I think we did do it wrong.
Because everybody says it's going to get you like right off the bat. You're going to love it. All you're going to want to do is watch it. And I didn't have that experience.
I didn't either.
Not even a little bit.
I feel so bad that I didn't.
I do too.
Because this is one of those shows, Cheer on Netflix, that gets this cultural momentum behind it. Everyone becomes obsessed with it, and everyone has these really positive feelings about it.
Right.
I watched the first episode, and I don't have those feelings, and I don't even know if I'm going to bother finishing the season of Cheer that is posted on Netflix right now.
I think I'm going to watch at least another episode because I want to know. Here's the thing, because I said this the other day, and I got to put my money where my mouth is. We are too quick to write shows off. We're too quick to say this didn't grab me right away, so I got to walk away. The first episode of any show is a setup. And so I have to acknowledge that and think, okay, maybe there's more and I need to give it. Who is it? Is it Alexis that gives things a 3-episode rule?
Yes, she does a 3-episode taste test. And if Alexis from Jason and Alexis is not caught by the excitement of a show, she will ditch it.
Yeah. And I think that that's what I don't know if I'm willing to go 3, but I'm willing to go 2 because it is an hour long. I did appreciate the little seeds that they planted about the stories of some of the people on this cheer team. Clearly, and I am a sucker for a redemption story, right? So there were a couple of the members of this cheer squad who kind of talked about the life that they were coming from, that maybe they hadn't planned to go to college or they really didn't even finish high school. And that being invited to be on this elite team and be a part of this experience was so meaningful for them in terms of how they were able to really see a future for themselves. One girl said, I didn't even ever think I'd go to college.
Right. Right. And she says that explicitly. I think that's Lexi.
Yeah.
And she talks about coming from socioeconomic circumstances where she would normally not have access to being on a cheer squad. She said she got scholarships because she was so good at it. She faced a lot of criticism from her peers because they looked down upon her for being that scholarship kid. I get where the show is coming from. It's a microcosm of the way we live now. And I say that in all capital letters as a proper concept, being this is a microcosm of American life right now.
Right.
You have all of these different things coming together. This is the Navarro College, a small town in Texas, brings all of these kids. And they say that a lot of these kids come from big city backgrounds. Maybe they didn't expect to go to college. Maybe they came from circumstances where there was a lot of doubt placed into them, but they're rising above their circumstances and coming together. They have Monica, the coach, who gave up her big dreams of being on Wall Street, a big corporate executive, in order to have a family. And then she found her way into this cheer competition thing to
circuit,
be a coach.
Yes.
And now she's meant, I get intellectually.
It's cool. I see the characters.
Yes,
and,
I see it.
And listen, as somebody who has in my life taken part in a I would call what I did an art, dance, modern dance specifically,
totally
that people don't typically understand and don't think much about.
Which Cheer does. And
yes.
It sets it up in that first episode, explaining the difference between maybe the concept of a cheerleader that you grew up with versus the athletics of cheer competition. Because no doubt, these people
are top athletes.
Athletes.
It's unbelievable. And so I can appreciate that part of the storytelling as well, where it's shedding a light on something that people might not really understand a lot about or think they know something about, but they really don't.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I'm waiting for it all to gel together for me. I'm waiting to have that moment where I go, okay, yep, I got to keep going. I got to keep binging. Because we did just get an email from a listener who said, I love it. I highly recommend it for your next binge. So clearly it's caught the zeitgeist somehow, and I want to understand more why, and so I'm going to keep watching, but based on the first episode, and I'm hoping that there are some people who watched episode one that are going, yeah, I didn't get it either, but maybe I will go back and give it another shot.
We did get a tweet from Panda, and she said you have to get to episode 2 and 3 of Cheer to really get emotionally involved. She said 2 got me in the mood, so I think that we need to give it the old Alexis Thompson 3 episode taste test.
All right, so
and
you
then
know
make
what?
Our final judgment.
How about this? Check in again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Each of us will have watched at least one more episode. We'll let you know if we're hooked yet. Now, when we come back, what are you streaming right now? Why should we add it to our list? Call us 651-641-1071 on My Talk 1071.
Have you been waiting for just the right job? Then welcome to the end of your search. Amazon has seasonal warehouse jobs in your area, and now is a great time to apply. You can start getting paid right away and work close to home. Applying is easy. You don't even need an interview. So what are you waiting for? Come join the team and get a great seasonal job offer today. Visit amazon.com/hiring. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.